such a pleasure to be here, and it's also really fun to have these colleagues here that oftentimes I am presenting and talking about TSCBT, so it's really fun as well. I've been doing a lot of training and work with David Coco, who's only a few hours away, on alternatives for families, cognitive behavioral therapy, so it's really nice to also talk about an intervention that really focuses on families that do involve families that engage in offending, violent, coercive, hostile behaviors. And even the question that Doug brought up about what do we do with those families? How do we work with them? Who's in the room? Who's not in the room? And so hopefully you'll get a taste of how this intervention kind of approaches that and also builds off. There's so many underlying and common components to the CBT, obviously, of trauma-focused CBT. And so I am at the Kemp Center, and you know, why do we demand effective treatments for children? It's just that we would accept no less. We accept no less for our daughters and sons and nephews and nieces and godchildren and grandchildren. So we need to demand also that the children that are in our lives and that we are advocating for in many ways are actually connected with effective evidence-based treatments. It is our kind of mandate. And I think that, you know, knowing about different interventions, catching up with what is out there, what is effective, sometimes can be hard for everyday practitioners doing really hard and good work with families in diverse practice settings. And this AFCBT used to be known as abuse-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, and David got a lot of kind of, you know, response about that's such a boring name, and, you know, we have to come up with something that really captures what AFCBT is doing with families and focuses on, and it's called Alternatives for Families, and I actually think it's nice doing this treatment, implementing it with diverse families. They talk about, it really is non-stigmatizing to talk about the alternatives that our families are learning of different effective ways to connect and be more effective in our homes and safer. And so this evidence-based treatment is designed to improve the relationships between children and their caregivers in families involved in physical coercion, force, chronic hostility, and I would also say to reduce caregiver-family risk factors for physically abusive behaviors or coercive behaviors, and to, of course, ameliorate the consequences of abuse. And the, David Colco and Alyssa Brown are the developers. The major contributors are Barbara Bauman, Megan Schaefer, and Amy Herschel, all kind of in your backyard here in Pittsburgh. So I'm moving to other places, but who is this for? So it's always good to, you know, be thinking about really clear, even if it feels a little redundant. I'd like for you to leave here really knowing who is this treatment for. Caregivers that are benefit from this treatment, that are those that demonstrate poor child behavior management skills. They primarily rely and resort on punitive means, punishments, have high levels of negative interactions. It's hard sometimes to be in the room with these families, if you felt that. And resorting to kind of odd and unsafe ways to teach lessons and to get the message across is fear, threat, punishment. Also, this treatment is designed for and helpful for physically abused children who exhibit high levels of aggression, externalizing behaviors, poor social competence, and those children that have experienced child physical abuse or much violence and conflict in their home that also have post-traumatic stress symptoms and experience that. And high levels of emotional abuse is important too because it's overlapping here and targeted in this intervention. And so all of the kind of the research that was reviewed also yesterday and all the wonderful presentations, you know, also kind of lend to our knowledge about characteristics of coercive and aggressive families. And so when you see children with the aggression and behavioral difficulties having a lot of hard times interpersonally and struggling, negative attributions, you know, oftentimes if we just ask kids, you know, why do kids get beaten or why do you think you got hit or smacked in the face, kids will say, because I'm bad, I messed up. And this attribution about I'm bad or I'm the problem is, you know, an attribution. And I think that was talked about also with, you know, TSCBT, because we focus on cognitions and attributions in children and their caregivers. Caregivers that are served by AFCBT and fit well have high levels of aggression, anger, limited positive parenting, very skewed attributions about their children's behaviors, heightened anger and sadness, and many psychiatric disorders, physiological arousal. And so, you know, knowing that also, I mean, this picture of family conflict and coercion, and also knowing these families are oftentimes socially isolated and not that don't have a lot of resources, have a lot of ongoing stressors, not always living in safe communities, so that the violence is kind of all around them. I was thinking about the more recent cases that we have had and referrals that we're working with right now, and these are the types of sometimes these odd punishment behaviors that, you know, to teach kids lessons or as their discipline strategies, you know, locked out of the house, locking your child out of the house for long periods of time, hot sauce on the tongue, mouth washed out, standing on tiptoes for a certain amount of time over tacks, things that you might never think of, being duct taped, you know, putting a child in a dryer, making your adolescent actually stay out in the backyard in a tent because you're afraid of them. These are the kinds of, you know, these behaviors don't fit sometimes, you know, with what we're thinking, you know, often. And there's a kind of continuum of violence. So there's a lot of verbal aggression and threats of harm and coercive behavior, hostility, but then also then outright physically abusive behaviors that do leave or not leave marks. And I think that, you know, this psychological maltreatment piece too, I'm teaching you a lesson that you are, you know, ungrateful, so I'm going to burn your clothes because you keep coming back around. This bothering a child more than anything, the fact that I just watched my favorite shorts, and I only had one of those pair of shorts, helped me fit in with my kids being burnt by my family member as this technique to teach me a lesson. And so I think, you know, and these can be particularly difficult cases to work with for clinicians as well. Other examples of the child presentations and types of problems that kids that are served by AFCBT come in with: daytime and nighttime fears and vigilance, fears and nighttime beating, not knowing, kind of coming around the corner, therefore finding them sleeping in their classrooms. I mean, and this is kind of characteristic of children that have experienced other types of traumatic events too, we know. But also this, we have several families right now that talk about how they're afraid of their children. They're afraid of being attacked with a knife or hiding the knives, not sleeping well, the parents. And so there's this whole kind of family culture of feeling unsafe, feeling vigilant, not just by the child, but by the parents as well. And this family system factors, you know, multiple caregivers in and out of the homes, ongoing violence, coercion, you know, impending divorce. Well, you know, all of these kind of multiple services, engagement in the child welfare service, court ordered is a biggie, because oftentimes families aren't coming in being like, I need a lot of help because, you know, I should have never had my child stand on their toes under tacks. You know, that was an awful, terrible, you know, abusive work. They're saying, what are you talking about? I was keeping my kids safe. I don't need to be here. This is ridiculous, actually. I'm the one doing my job. You can't tell me what to do. And so how does that feel to you all, right? It's like I'm trying to, you know, oftentimes being mandated for services and who actually walks in the door, you need a whole other set of skills to connect and to, you know, step into the perspective, understand what happened in the family, and to be effective. And so, but the primary problems, as you can see here, are targeted, are clear. And if you, I always like to just stress the part that words hurt too. We do a lot of psychoeducation in these family-focused trauma treatments around emotional abuse, psychological maltreatment that's really been found to have a major detrimental effect. A lot more research is being done right now, as we know. And I just think that these, what kids are talking about bothering them at nighttime and what they're thinking about, wondering if those messages are clear, you know, or true of what their caregivers are telling them. It's oftentimes, you know, we need to really address that, assess it, be targeting in treatment. What might this kind of conflict that we talk about, you know, caring about not just those kids that are sent and actually referred and have substantiated child abuse reports, but families that are kind of characterized by violence? And this just gives you kind of a picture of what it sounds like.
What's the screen? It's not on the screen.
You can't see it on the screen?
No, get off.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, get off.
So, Not sure.
You can hear, I guess. We're always fighting. Him too. I'm sorry, buddy.
So, I think it's more powerful to see the interaction. Even hearing the interaction, kind of, I don't know if it kind of just doesn't sound or feel so good of like, welcome into my office, right? Come on in and let's, you know, talk about how we can communicate better. I think that, I'm sorry that we triple checked the technology. Okay, it's on the first one. That's a good, no worry. We're so flexible. Okay. Also, there was a very disturbing case that I was called about because I do some work in New Mexico as well, but of Omari Varela. I don't know if you heard about him, that basically this young 9-year-old boy actually called CPS. He called 911, put the phone down, and then basically you hear over 15 minutes of his home life situation, of him just being absolutely berated, screamed at, you know, it's so horrific. And later he actually was killed by his mom. And there were so many attempts. They have, it's actually a current case right now. And it brought to attention just how, you know, the point was made of our response needs to be all, actually just as, we need to be just as vigilant and just as, serious about our responses to psychological maltreatment. There was a lot of physical maltreatment as well, but the call was largely for the harsh, hearing the yelling and screaming at the child and just berating him. So when we think about who is a good fit or candidate for AFCBT, it's children between ages 5 and 17, a caregiver, any kind of caregiver really participating in services. This is a treatment for offending caregivers and their children and their partners. And so the question that you had asked about the whole family getting the service, and I think though that if there is a key other caregiver involved in caring, especially for this youth, if there is family separation and pending reunification, we also work with those families. And the caregiver has an allegation of suspected physical abuse, or they could have done something that could have resulted in injury to the child. So it doesn't have to be substantiated. The caregiver likely has used excessive force, conflicts, heated arguments. So you have to have one, you know, yes to one, two, and three, but any of these others. So this oppositionality, defiance, aggression, kind of pattern of behavior of children is also a good fit here, as we've talked about, and trauma symptoms. And so I'm going to just give, we're not sure why the screen, we couldn't see the video, but we can. Oh, okay, super, okay. The fundamentals, maybe what I'll do is just, if there is time, and I'll just call, is that okay? Okay, thanks. I'm just going to give you kind of an overview of the fundamentals of AFCBT so you walk away having just a flavor of and a snapshot of some of the main components. And I don't have as much time to go into depth, but I do think just having some kind of pictures in your mind of what this looks like. But also, we did have some families that offered to share some of their work for professionals learning about the treatment. So I want to let you know that we have full consent for any of the images or clinical work that you see here from the families. So that's important to know. So we deliver AFCBT in three phases, and the engagement phase, individual skill building, family applications, and there's an individual piece with child and family and the family member, the caregiver, and then there's also a joint and family component where they're coming together to practice new skills and routines. But it's a very thoughtful approach to bringing together the caregivers and the children because of this high level of hostility that oftentimes we see in conflict. And so just to touch on the underlying principles of AFCBT is cognitive theory, cognitive behavioral theory, social learning theory, family systems, developmental victimology, kind of drawing from that deep kind of theoretical and research base to guide this approach. And the research base of AFCBT, the research had been started really CBT with families that were characterized by anger, aggression, and conflict. And so that since 1996 was that first clinical trial. And since then, the studies that have been done have shown reductions in anger and aggression for those families that received AFCBT versus services as usual, routine care. There's research showing reductions in anger and aggression, both in children and their caregivers, the abuse and risk of use of force reduction post-treatment, lower rate of recidivism, which is kind of a big deal when you look at 5 to 6% versus 30% for the treatment as usual or the practice as usual, and then reduced family conflict. These are all the main areas that we'd be targeting. The main areas we're assessing with very clear standardized assessment measures from the beginning of treatment and throughout treatment to see treatment gains in these areas. We see increases, of course, we want to see increases in family resiliency strengths and new patterns and alternatives. The research shows increases in children being safe from harm, better prognosis, child social competencies, respecting boundaries, and family cohesion. And the community effectiveness trials are showing that basically that this treatment can be implemented successfully by community practitioners. We're saying we can do this, especially with some of the implementation tools that have been recently developed, because these are really challenging families to work with, and they require a number of skills, engagement skills, and also this kind of teaching specific strategies to engage with parents where maybe you also, your common reactions to them are really difficult, and it could be judgmental and blaming. And so I will say, if you're more interested in learning about the research, to also look at the AFCBT.org website. This just gives you kind of a sketch. I have to say, this is one of the longest acronyms. So alternatives, think of how hard that is. Alternatives. So alternatives, if you see all the different phases kind of go from the bottom to the top here with regard to phase one is alliance building. You do assessment, of course. Assessment drives every evidence-based practice. Really good at focused assessment to guide the treatment goal setting. Alliance building, learning about feelings and family experiences, talking about family experiences and psychoeducation, direct psychoeducation. I don't have to say much because Judy did a great job describing the main goals of psychoeducation. Then moving into phase two and individual skill building, and then engagement and family applications, where a lot of that coming together and application of those skills happen as well. So here's just a kind of a snapshot of AFCBT to give you a flavor of, or examples of some of these topics that are covered in the different phases. So just for example, in phase one, for the engagement in psychoeducation, here's a young child that writes the goals, that sets goals, because we figure out what kind of things do you want to be better at home? What do we want to work on? When your family is attending sessions, because these are families that are still together, right? There's high levels of conflict. And this is this child saying, well, with this child was actually in a foster mom's home briefly and then returned back to the real mom. But while he was in foster care, began the treatment and talked about, well, in foster care moms, the things that upset me at home, nothing. But with my real mom, getting spanked for not following directions, with a belt always, kicking for all these reasons. So I don't want to get spanked. That's what upset me. And what would be okay or good enough? Put me in timeout. I mean, he has ideas, this kid. It's like, you could put me in my timeout like other kids, by the way. And then, the way you like things. And he was talking about Spider-Man and having fun. But also, 10-year-old boys' goals, for example, make the scary memories in my head go away so it's easier to do things like focus on school. These are just from kids, writing their goals out. Getting in less fights at school and home, feeling less angry, sleeping better, feeling less bad about what happened with my dad. This was a physical abuse case for the, you'll see, he talks about the scary images that were in his mind were of a choking situation and family conflict that kind of culminated in one day after school. parent family goals, you know, mothers and fathers identifying, I want to do specifically their goals, less spanking and drinking, increase my ability to communicate, increase my ability to have fun, or, you know, reduce yelling, teasing, threatening, and demanding was the dad. And the family system of trying to reduce maladaptive, obviously, family interactions, increase positive communication in the home. So these are just examples of our goal setting. It's very specific, and we're tracking improvement in these areas. We're checking in. This CASH is kind of the check-in on attendance, safety, and home practice, because safety is so key and critical from just day one in these families and homes. Is there's a very specific way that we actually attend to and monitor and track us, coercive and unsafe behaviors. And we ask, tell me about family conflicts, arguments, fights, upsetting incidents each week, and check in and track, you know, yelled, cussed. And it's very behaviorally specific, as you can see. Did anyone yell, cuss, curse, threaten, slam door, break something, you know, hit? Push, because we are expecting, as we're working on increasing alternative, safe, you know, non-threatening, coercive, physically abusive ways of dealing with things, that we're still going to have some of these. So we don't want you to box it away and not tell us about it. We need to be working with it and, you know, building and increasing these effective alternatives. And these are also that they're tracking the ways that they handled problems that week, too. We actually get a report of this from parents each week, and a report from the children. And sometimes the kid, you know, will say to you, well, no, actually mom did this, or this week we had a major problem. Did she tell you about it? You know? And so this kind of transparency, though, because this is what we're targeting in this treatment, is really important. The other piece is that because there can be great defensiveness and hostility and sometimes reactivity from parents around, you're judging me, you know, or what I'm doing in my home and in my family, is that you have to, in this treatment approach, we found that we really need to help support the clinicians in using de-escalation strategies, engagement strategies for these challenging behaviors. And so when we train, we focus on this. And when we're building alliance with family members that maybe are court-ordered, that don't see why they're here or are struggling with that, and it feels, you know, kind of somewhat hostile, and, you know, there's this kind of, it can be like you feeling like this arm wrestling or tug of war, is that we really, you know, use strategies such as a decisional balance, you know, highlighting personal coping skills, and identifying, you know, the strengths of the families, the stressful life events that also are contributing, but also the pros and cons. So of really laying out clearly, what are the pros and cons of being here? What are the pros and cons of treatments or changing some of your behaviors? I'm not going to talk you into this, you know, of like, you need to be here. You know, I'm going to actually let you understand, you know, help you walk through that and understand why this really will make sense for your family and why you're here, engaging them to see that and have internal motivation to be here. And here's just an example of an decisional balance that a family did about use of physical force and verbal threats. You know, like, I'm just going to keep using these strategies. Or abstaining. And you actually walk through calmly the pros and the cons for each of these, of beating or hurting or your child or using these measures. What are the pros? Well, you know, child will be fearful, or caregiver, I already know how to do this. And the cons, well, they could be removed again, or I might not get them home, or, you know, it's a bad example, or everyone's afraid in the home. You know, what are some pros and cons of actually trying some other, you know, measures, the least force measures, new? And this is kind of a walking through, and it is a process of engaging and alliance building and seeing that we have some goals we can work with. We're identifying children's, we're helping them to identify their feelings and talk about the referral event, and kind of in a gradual exposure way, but really this kind of holding the both and the dialectical, which I think the dialectic, the part that this is a relationship, the family, and that there are some really positive and pleasant experiences and some really scary, awful experiences here. And we have to acknowledge that in order to open the door to really learn about what the family is like and to help establish new patterns and teach skills. So here's just an example of when children make their pies of unpleasant experiences. This was a child who made his pie, and you can see how he divided up. These were the unpleasant experiences at home, the yelling and swearing. You see how much pie it takes up here, threats and arguments, insults, shaking, getting hit with objects, poking, pushing, hit, and a broken bone. Isn't it interesting that the broken bone just has that slice? Much more of the pie has to do with this other, these other aspects of the psychological maltreatment, right, as well. And this is another just child's pie, you know, really talking about those negative experiences, positive experiences. You know, I liked when he would play with me, when we'd have fun, when we, you know, when we do play Dragon Ball and he used to ride bikes. And this was before the big event happened. My worries about being harmed. These are just examples of kids sharing their worries, being hurt again. I'm worried, you know, when they are separated sometimes in foster care, I don't know what's going to happen if I go back to my mom. And so bringing them together thoughtfully with their foster parent and then coordinating the other treatment piece with the caregivers that are sometimes separated temporarily, and but their plan is towards reunification, that's complicated, but we do it all the time. So the psychoeducation on abuse, very important first segment, very clearly talking about local laws and policy, words and actions that hurt. We're using, you know, handouts and engaging materials for young kids to older kids. We just had, and I love this clinical innovation, we had a five-year-old that was in treatment, and it was around Easter time, and the therapist said, well, the way that we're going to do physical abuse psychoeducation is that I have my basket of eggs, and I pass out all the eggs, and in the eggs, the little child would have to go and find the eggs around the office, and they'd open the eggs, and there'd be questions, you know, what is physical abuse, or what is, and they'd answer those questions. This is directive, but play and fun, but they're learning about what is, you know, family fighting, and how do kids feel is another question that was in the egg that they opened up, and they read, and they learned together. And having, you know, this directive psychoeducation is very empowering and instilling hope, too, that there all are alternatives. And so this talking about family experiences, the themes of being parented with parents is critical, I think. Oh, thank you. Okay. And so the developing caregiver letters about reflecting on family of origin, this is another example of a unique kind of technique that is used, where you're really thinking about intertransmission of violence and how I kind of came to be here with how I discipline my children, that it's not a mystery, so we're highlighting those. And so I'm going to wrap up, and I'm sorry that a few minutes were also taken from the, I'm going to wrap up, I'm going to switch to the slide of, we wanted to make sure that you knew what to do now, because this was the example here. Let's see here. Right here. Okay. Oops. Yeah, perfect. Okay. And so as we work through teaching skills and we work through enhancing safety through clarification, actually clarifying families are helped and supported to identify the abusive behaviors, taking responsibility, not minimizing those behaviors. That is a process that takes time, just with building perspective and insight, learning about attributions, about violence. And I would say that there's a lot, you know, there are a lot of components or topics within these phases to learn about. If you're interested in learning more, even just from the little bit that you've learned today, there are really nice resources, and one is this video that I encourage you to watch. It's the HOPE video, and actually TFCBT is one of the family-focused, trauma-focused treatments that it highlights. AFCBT is too, Alternatives for Families. There's also resources on the afcbt.org, really, if you were just to take away that, knowing that the treatment developer is really nearby and has trained a number of professionals in your area is important. And we'll have this slide set or the PDFs up so that you can get in touch with David Kolko and his colleagues that are nearby, because I think it's important to know your resources here in the community, and also to know that you can always contact us and to learn more as well. Thank you so much for your attention and for learning about effective treatments for traumatized kids.